Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. I was lied to, other members of this board have been lied to, members of this staff were lied to. And I would just tell you, that doesn't sit well with me. And I don't care what language you bring, I ain't supporting it because of the tactics that are being used. It is inappropriate, and it's not even in our authority, it's not a requirement of this board. Representative Rudman, if he wants to run the bill, he can put his man pants on and he can run the bill. And he can live and die on that.
Okay.
But to put us all in this position is ridiculous.
Yeah, we actually had a clip of Colton calling into Pensacola Right Now, the afternoon show, about a week or so ago, saying, or 2 weeks ago, saying roughly the same thing. But he took the time to say it in the meeting the other day when they were talking about Navarin Corporation. In case you haven't been tracking all of this, Joel Rubman, the representative for District 3, which is the northern portion of Santa Rosa County outside of the beaches and half of Navarre. Alex Andrade has the, you know, Gulf Breeze Midway and the southern portion of Navarre. He came to the county commission a couple weeks back saying, hey, put this on the vote, you know, let the people vote, straw poll. That way I know whether I should even run the bill in the state house. And then we'll actually come back to an actual vote that will count for something. Commissioners pushed back, and ultimately Colton Wright had, as you heard him there say, I've been lied to. Joel Rubman lied to me. And, he's said that he just wants incorporation and he's not willing to risk the political capital to go for it. Instead, he's trying to make it look like we're the bad guys because he's pushing an agenda to try to replace some of us for other reasons. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being lied about. And this is, you know, and like I said before, Colton Wright is generally a very kind of reserved, respectful, I'm not going to call you out in public sort of guy unless you really, 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 really make me. And typically you don't have county commissioners attacking state representatives from the dais. That's unusual, especially because they have to work with those people to get funding requests accomplished in Tallahassee and so forth. So this is, I said it before, I'll say it again, this is kind of big stuff coming out of Colton Wright's mouth. Somebody who's, you know, demeanor, judgment, generally I support, agree with, of the people on the board, he's the one that I identify with the closest in terms of political thinking and, you know, who I think does, you know, a very, very good job. So for him to take this stance is, you know, pretty meaningful. And then he gives an explanation. He doesn't just say he lied to me. He actually takes the time to explain, this is what happened.
No, look, I don't normally divulge, you know, conversations I have with people until they cross me time and time and time again. Representative Rudman had a 2.5 hour long lunch with me where he had someone else there I didn't know was going to be there. Okay? So I got a little bit ambushed into a meeting. And in that meeting, he agreed, and so did the other individual, that there was no reason for this to come before the county commission. That was a Tuesday.
Okay.
His last words to me, the last words we spoke, until last Thursday, or the Thursday of the last meeting. The last words he spoke to me, he looked at me, he said, I agree you're right, I'm gonna call Ray right now, and this is coming off the table. I got to this office, it was pulled off the agenda, and then suddenly Friday afternoon, there's a Facebook post drumming up excitement about I'm going to go at public forum. And what happens? That next meeting is a free-for-all on that Monday. We got people from both sides in here, both sides acting unreasonable. We got sign gate happening, and it's unnecessary. It didn't need to happen, but he gave his word, and he understood all the reasons.
So that's the nitty-gritty. That's not good. And by the way, the at-odds-with status of Joel Rubin, Representative Rubin, right now is kind of like with everybody. Like, he's at war with the South Santa Rosa News over articles that she's published about him, actually trying to get, like, a restraining order against her, you know, against Romy White. You know, Alex Andrade in here, you know, and, you know, it's like, I don't want to get into the details, but it's bad. I mean, like, this is kind of an, and Sam Parker was saying basically the same things at the meeting.
I agree that 100% people should have the right to vote on how they want their community engaged. However, with the current players in the game, I have zero trust. I have been elected to safeguard the community. I want the community to be able to vote on the issue one day when I think there's some integrity, but there are people involved in this process that I won't name, but they know who they are, that have absolutely lied to my face about this process. And so when I don't trust somebody that's working on this, then I feel like it's my duty to not be part of something that I already know is faulty.
So he doesn't name the name, but the text between the lines is not hard to figure out. Okay? So we'll come back to this in just a second. And by the way, I'll just say this briefly before we go to John with traffic. I don't know Joel Rubman, other than I've listened to him at the State House, and of course I'm aware of him as a candidate. I met him for the very first time, talked to him for the very first time at the candidate forum the other day in Santa Rosa County. And, you know, he seemed like a decent enough person in the 10 minutes that I got to interact with him, but that's a, you know, that's that, as opposed to all the other stuff that I have heard and seen and over time. And so I, you know, I don't, it's not like, I'm not speaking from personal experience. I'm talking about what people are telling me from people that I trust their opinion. And again, I've never heard Colton Wright talk that way about somebody in public. It's just, you know, unprecedented, absolutely unprecedented. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to let you know about right now, but I am seeing some slowdowns. If you're going I-10 eastbound right after Highway 29, there's going to be some slowdowns there. Also, Highway 29 and Burgess going northbound. Also, remember, if you're headed northbound trying to get onto the I-10 ramp from Highway 29, you're going to that ramp is closed, so you'll have to go up and make a U-turn and get back on that way. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last week. So Sam says he's been lied to. Colton says he's been lied to. Ray Eddington is the representative from Navarre. This is all about Navarre Incorporation, okay? Ray Eddington says,
I say put it on the ballot, let the people vote. I'm not for incorporation. They know that. Dr. Rudman did tell me if they didn't get the votes, it's dead and won't ever come back for me. And that's what I want. I don't want it to come back. Let the people decide what they want. I don't live in Navarre. I live in Holly. And I don't want to be incorporated. That's my feelings. But they do. Let the people vote. It don't bother me.
And so you have, you know, James Calkins, who thinks that the language on the ballot initiative is inadequate because it needs to say layer of government added and tax increase, which I think that's a mistake. And I agreed with Wes Seiler, who's the representative of the people who want to incorporate Navarre, thinking that that's kind of a biased language. But he apparently doesn't want to have it on the ballot. And then Colton Wright says, just because of the way it's all been presented, I don't want this on the ballot. And it's all been, you know, I've been lied to by the main person who's being the face of the straw vote, Joel Rubman. And then Sam Parker says, look, I've been lied to so many times that it's my responsibility not to let people who can't be trusted shape the future of so many other people.
It's not personal. If somebody's a liar or a thief, hey, I don't like it, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to allow them to be part of a process that could, you know, greatly change people's lives.
So he's saying, look, the people who have been advocating for this, I don't trust them, and I don't want to put people I can't trust in charge of a process that's going to have so much impact on people's lives ultimately. He says it's not personal, but it sounds personal. I mean, character stuff don't know if that's personal or not. It's an interesting way to talk about it. So then we got to the big fun drama. This is the finale, so to speak, of all of this last week at the county commission committee meeting. This is Ray Eddington and then James Calkins. And remember, this had been called a political stunt by Colton Wright, that it was designed to make them look bad, the people that Joel Rudman wants to oppose in the primary coming up on the 20th. And James Calkins is starting to call it a political stunt. Ray Eddington is the one kind of advocating for the vote just because he wants to be done with it all. And Ray is the one who has typically historically been like, I hate all this drama. Okay, I don't like all this drama. Well, I bring you drama.
Mr. Chairman. No, hold on, Mr. Calkins. Let's just make a vote right now and get it over with.
Hold on a minute. One piece of
context here. Pushing to have a vote right now when you know there's three commissioners against it means pushing to have it fail. Just to keep that, that's going to become relevant in understanding this.
Let's just make a vote right now and get it over with.
Hold on a minute. So y'all are saying this ain't a political stunt, right? Is that what I'm hearing? You can count to three, can't you? And you want to call a vote? This is a political stunt. This is exactly. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, and you're a part of it. And so, it's bizarre. This is okay. I'd like to make a motion right now. I can't make a motion to let the citizens vote? To let the citizens vote?
Ray's left.
Well, yeah. But it would go to Thursday. Correct? Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is a committee meeting. So we got two commissioners that just walked out because they never want to hear another option.
So Ray walked out, which is the new tactic for handling James Calkins. But can I say this? Oh, man, this is going to feel awkward. James is right in this case. Demanding to have an up or down vote when you know it's going to fail in the context of this whole thing looks like a political stunt orchestrated by the representative to make certain people look bad, the three people who are going to vote against it, proves the point that it's a political stunt, and Ray Eddington seems to have been co-opted into it. I don't think Ray has his corrupt motives at all, but I think he got tricked into all of this. And he seems to be playing along by demanding the vote, and then when James pushes him on it, he gets up and leaves. it gets better. He comes back.
You just heard, James. You got three, don't want it. That's enough. Let's cut it. It's over with. Y'all don't want it. It's done.
Good. Then let's go to the next item.
Another way. Okay. We done.
Thank you.
I'm tired of everybody politicking. And that's why I don't do that crap, James. People say, you do, Mr. Parker, y'all don't do it all the time. And it ain't the place to do it, James.
This is not democracy.
Jerry, please, be quiet. This is my time.
Now, I will tell you, there was follow-up from that at the next meeting. Some very, very, very interesting follow-up. Let me see if I hadn't been planning to play this clip quite in this moment, but I feel like it's so relevant. I'm kind of looking for it. Is this the one? No, hold on. Okay. I have time to do this. I think I have to. I'll share this again later when we come back to this. But at the next meeting, this is what we heard. After some squabbling, a bunch of squabbling among the commissioners.
I don't care what party or who you are. I try to treat you right. But when somebody starts talking to me, mouthing off to me, yeah, I lose my temper. I do. Monday, I lost my cool with Mr. Calkins, arguing with a guy out here with no sense in it.
You're right.
Let me finish, okay, please. And Chairman, I was upset with you. You kept going in and out. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And then all that trouble out in the hall, people just going in and out. And here I am sitting here thinking, we got a job to do. What are we going in and out, getting up and walking off? And I did too. I walked off. I just took all I could take. I ended up in the hospital with chest pains. because of this crap here. It's time to stop. We got a job to do, and it's still our job.
The drama of the meeting literally sent him to the hospital with stress and heart issues, apparently. So, and by the way, in the next meeting, oh, it was just as bad. It was just as bad. So I fear for the health of at least one of our commissioners in handling this. And like I say, look, it doesn't have to be a competition between you and the city of Milton. You know, it doesn't, you don't have to be top in that category. 725 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now, but thanks to a listener tip, we've got a lane closure on Palafox between Hancock and Burgess due to activity by the sheriff's office. There's a crime scene van and three sheriff's deputies parked alongside the road is blocking one lane. It's currently blocking the southbound lane. So thank you for the tip on that one. Also, I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I guess I just got a text in from somebody who says, Andrew, maybe it's just me, but I don't like to start my day with dysfunctional people arguing. There's so many other things to discuss. I understand. But elections matter, and we have one coming up. Right? You know, so I understand. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
Hi, my name is Sean Salmon, and I am the owner of Maynard's Donuts and Coffee on Nine Mile with two locations there. The team at ESPN Pensacola has been fantastic to work with, offering us creative and effective advertising solutions that resonate with the local sports community.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools. I've served as a teacher, assistant principal, principal, director of federal programs, and now as superintendent, I lead 3,100 educators as they serve our 29,000 students. Our children and the taxpayers of Santa Rosa County deserve a superintendent who has a successful track record and experience. So on August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Sometimes the line's not all that fine. Just to be fair. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris was in Atlanta yesterday with a campaign rally. She again challenged former President Trump to a debate. The Israeli military says they want to avoid a wider war with Hezbollah. The military said yesterday that Israeli fighter jets had eliminated a senior Hezbollah commander near Beirut, who they say was responsible for that recent rocket attack that killed 12 children. And a 21-year-old Harvard student has created a new AI-powered companion. Apparently, it's a wearable pendant that they say will battle loneliness by engaging in conversations and keeping the user company. So if you see anybody talking to their pendant, that's apparently what it is.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Is that the new version of Talk to the Hand? Talk to the pendant. David, thanks so much for the update.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The militant group Hamas confirms the death of its top political leader in an airstrike in Iran's capital, Tehran, about 12 hours after the assassination of a Hezbollah leader in a drone strike in Beirut, Lebanon. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says he cannot confirm the strikes were carried out by Israel.
We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we keep things from turning into a broader conflict throughout the region.
Iran's supreme leader says the killing of a guest in his country will be avenged. Carrie Lake, endorsed by former President Trump, wins her Republican Senate primary in Arizona over Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb.
We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we keep things from turning into a broader conflict throughout the region.
Congressman Ruben Gallego ran unopposed for the Democrats' nomination. Senator Kyrsten Sinema decided not to run for a second term. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies and 81 degrees already this morning. Heat index at about 90 right now. Several Penair Credit Union ATM machines are now back in service. They did have to be temporarily shut down because of a nearly undetectable skimmer device.
Unlike traditional skimmers that we've seen in the past, this one was actually an insert skimmer that actually went inside the device. So a lot of the techniques we would use to detect skimmers on the outside of the ATM were not applicable in this scenario.
Captain Chris Jones there from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, and he says that criminals are always adapting their tactics and methods. These skimmers reportedly also used pinhole cameras to capture the PIN numbers as they were entered on the keypad. The four machines that were affected were in three were in Pensacola, one on 9th Avenue, two on Garden, and then a fourth machine that was affected was on Woodbine Road in Pace. And Penair is now says they've checked all of their ATM machines for these skimmers. Officials believe an organized criminal ring is responsible, and that investigation is still ongoing. There's a new four-way stop in downtown Pensacola. Two new stop signs installed this week at the intersection of Tarragona and Romana. There previously were only stop signs on Romana. Now it's a four-way. The city says the change was made to enhance pedestrian safety at that intersection. There's going to be a kickoff event for the Pensacola Bay Area Walk to End Alzheimer's next week. That happening at the Airport Hyatt Place next Thursday. The event will be open to the public, and it'll give you kind of a first look at how things will be for this year's Walk to End Alzheimer's event. The Pensacola committee, team captains, and champions will be sharing their stories. And the actual Walk to End Alzheimer's will happen October 6th at Community Maritime Park. Tropical wave in the Atlantic could be the next named storm of the season. The National Hurricane Center tracking the system near the Lesser Antilles. Forecasters giving that about a 60% chance of developing over the next week. They say it could form into a tropical depression later this week near the Greater Antilles or the Bahamas. Its impact on the U.S. would still be unclear. The city of Pensacola has released their proposed city budget for the next fiscal year. That budget including no millage rate increase, a 7% increase in the budget for the fire department, adding some full-time jobs, and including the second-year increase in the city's salary reform plan.
So for us to be as productive as our citizens should expect us to be, we have to be competitive. And that's a big reason why we've taken on this significant lift.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there from his weekly press conference, and the first year of the salary reform plan added $2 million into the city's budget. The proposed budget for this next fiscal would also add another $2 million for that salary reform plan, and the budget also includes a 3% cost of living raise for all city employees. Mayor Reeves said the higher wages are important for the city to attract top talent. Marco Rubio says it's time to start being honest about Venezuela's government. He was on the Charlie Kirk show on Real America's Voice yesterday and said, we need to stop talking about the Maduro regime as a government because he says it's really a narco-terrorist organization making money off of drug trafficking. Rubio also criticizing President Biden for agreeing to release Venezuelan criminals in exchange for a promise to have free and fair elections. 735 right now, News Radio Pensacola, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
And traffic on the five. Right now on I-10, I-110, you're going to see if you're headed on 29, heading northbound onto I-10 eastbound, you're going to see that entrance ramp is blocked. Also, we're seeing about a 10-minute slowdown if you're rolling through I-10 eastbound right around starting the Pine Forest and seeing some slowdowns right there on Highway 29 also leading out to I-10 eastbound. And we've got... Okay. Okay, well, we're going to put Andrew on, but there's a lane closure on Palafox.
Yeah, I was just, you're talking about the lane closure on Palafox.
Yes.
Okay, I just got off the phone with the sheriff's department. They have found a person deceased, a transient. They don't think there's a crime related to it, but they're investigating to make sure, and CSI is coming in order to investigate. But so that's what's going on Palafox, and I checked with them just to make sure, because when I checked on the website, it said man down. I thought, oh God, what is that? You know, and so that's the backstory.
Okay, and that's traffic on your fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the update from both of you. And now let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms through the day today, 40% chance of rain. Outside of that, mostly sunny skies with a high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, 40% chance of rain, high near 94. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. We're going to keep that rain chance around on Friday with a 40% chance of rain and a high near 94. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we do have 82 degrees in Pensacola. It is 81 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 82 in Milton. Of course, the heat index already up to, about 90, 95, 96 degrees ranging across the area. Let's get a look at our financial market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing has named former Collins Aerospace CEO Robert Kelly Ortberg to replace CEO David Calhoun as the company scrambles to regain its footing after a door plug blew out of a 737 MAX 9 in January. And more from the plane maker. Boeing has reported a bigger loss and weaker revenue than analysts expected for the second quarter and lower revenue as both its commercial airplane and defense programs continue to struggle. Revenue came in at roughly $16.9 billion versus the $17.2 billion expected. Europe's largest lender, HSBC, has declared a share buyback program up to $3 billion as pre-tax profit for the first half of the year beat expectations on the back of a high interest rate environment. The bank posted pre-tax profit in the 6 months ending in June at just over $21.5 billion. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
7:38, our next news at 8 o'clock, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us this Friday as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
I'm Earl McCauley, and I'm running for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm a 22-year teaching veteran and 20-year resident of District 4. Last year, I was the Gulf Breeze High School Teacher of the Year with a 97% pass rate on a challenging AP literature exam. My goals as a board member are teacher retention, middle schools, and addressing issues with books and libraries. Your vote for Earl McCauley on August 20th will bring common sense for the school board. I'm Earl McCauley for School Board District 4, and I approve this message.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Joining me here in studio today, we have Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, former PPD Chief. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's kind of been quiet this week.
And it's not necessarily newsworthy. We made some great narcotics arrests, traffic stop narcotics arrests, but that's just a small fraction of what we're going on. There's 721 employees, 400.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
That's calming. I've needed that today. I needed that today. Oh, man. Hey, Mayor Reeves is trying to navigate plane stuff. Ironically, he said, well, since I'm not going to be able to do the interview right now because, like, he was going to be, but then they had, you know, plane change stuff. He said, well, do you want to talk to Matt Coughlin, the airport director? And I said, of course. Love Matt. Known Matt for a long time. So joining us now instead of Mayor Reeves, we have the airport director, former, county assistant administrator. He might have done a quick stint as the county admin. I don't remember. That was happening fast. And then former NAS Whiting field commanding officer, Matt Coughlin. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing today?
Good. You didn't have anything to do with what's beleaguering the mayor, though, this morning, right?
No, absolutely not.
All right, fair enough. Just wanted to make sure. No responsibility for that. I did want to ask you a lot of questions to ask you. Number one is Secretary of Transportation Florida, Jared Perdue, recently came to town, and you had him look over the airport, right? Because this is all part of the terminal expansion and the various – all the parts of that project, right?
He did. He was here a couple of weeks ago. It was great because it gave us the opportunity to show him around a little bit and then, show him some of our plans and some of our challenges and see where we're going to be going over the next few years to answer those. And so it was a great opportunity, just if nothing else, to get him to get eyes on it. And so when he sees our requests go in to support Pensacola, he's seen it firsthand and understands the challenges.
So, you know, I haven't flown in a long, long, long time, and I flew to the RNC in Milwaukee. I had a really good experience. The one thing I did notice is when I got in line, what seemed to me to be the back of the maze for screening, and my first thought was, oh, no. No, I had allowed plenty of time because that's how I do. But it was like, I don't know, 16 minutes all the way through to I'm in the terminal. I mean, that wasn't even like to the front of the line. It was 5 to the line, 5 or so to wait. There was a little bit of a hiccup just getting the bags, the stuff screened, but and the TSA folks were great. All four lines were operating, and I had an extremely positive experience.
Yeah, you know, they're doing much better. Obviously, we have some challenges there, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times it comes down to the individual screeners and the operation itself and the managers and how they're operating and how efficient they are. You know, that is new equipment there too, so they've had to learn that. So I would say the process has gotten better, and one of the metrics I look at is, so TSA has a self-reporting requirement. Anytime the line gets over 35 minutes, they have to report that to their National Ops Center up in D.C. Well, last year, I think we were about 14, 15 times. This year, maybe 4 at the most, and they've really taken some resources. They've applied them here in Pensacola. We have some new management here, which helps. And also when they figured out the resource and modeled what we actually need here from a standpoint of bodies and equipment, they're answering the call. And so I'm pretty happy with it. You're seeing the difference like you did. You know, we still have some lines some days, but considering the amount of people that are coming through here, I think they're doing a lot better than they were, and we're keeping the pressure up too, so that helps.
And one of the things you and I were talking briefly before you got on the air is you guys are going through a reconfiguration that will allow it won't speed up the line, but it will allow you a little bit more space to have the line queued so that it doesn't overflow into the hallway, basically. Is that right?
Correct. So we just went operational with two new exit lanes, and they're more state-of-the-art. So when you leave the concourse, you get off your airplane, you're going back to the unsecured side to get your baggage. There's basically, there used to be this elongated tunnel with technology that would keep people from reversing direction to go back into the concourse, the secure area. This new equipment, you literally, it's very short. You can put a lot of people through to the tune of about, between two of them, about 5,000 people an hour if you had to.
Okay.
But what that does for us, it creates a lot of space right there in the queuing area for the pre-security checkpoint. And so hopefully we're going to mitigate a lot of those long lines that went down the hall, because the optic of such was, if you're a customer, you're coming in here and you go, oh, you got to go down the hallway and stand in line. When you see that, you think you're going to be waiting a couple hours. Now it's going to be much quicker. It's just a more streamlined operation.
And so the way I understand this is the hallway, you would kind of, when you're exiting the terminal, you'd go down this hallway, you'd turn left, then you make this U-turn around, and you see the Blue Angels kind of sort of depicted there. That long hallway is going to be eliminated, and that's going to be space that you're using for queuing for the screening line. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
And is that in place now, or is that in process?
No, that's in process. So the new lanes are in there. We're checking out the making sure everything's testing right, it's working. We'll do that for a small break-in period, and it is. It's all working good.
Okay.
And then we'll start taking down some of those walls.
Okay. All right. So that's a bit of a process, but understandable. We're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the director of the Pensacola Airport. We'll come back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just seeing a slowdown, major one, between Palafox and Hancock and Burgess on Palafox. So just be aware of that. They have now shut down both lanes. So diverting traffic in that area. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Well, it couldn't come at a better time when school starts at 8:30. At West Florida and, of course, Brown Barge and that. Yeah. Yay. Back to Matt Coughlin. He is the director of the Pensacola Airport. Matt, I know you have the new parking area behind the firehouse on the sort of the empty space north of Langley. Do you now have enough for right now? I know you want to build a new parking structure eventually. I know we're wanting to expand a terminal, but does that give you enough parking for now when we have busy days like Thanksgiving?
It does. I mean, over the summer when we opened that around July 4th timeframe, we haven't had more than 20 cars in there. It's a really good deal. We have shuttle service out there. If we get really busy really suddenly with all our parking, somebody can go out there and park literally for 30 days for about, you know, a dollar a day. It's really a small fee, and then you get a shuttle back. But we haven't really had to use it that much. We are in the process right now of construction. If you go up Tippin, we're building a new 400-space lot. What used to be the old grassy, some people call it the grassy overflow lot.
Yeah.
That is going to be a new parking lot, hopefully before Thanksgiving.
And of course, it was what, last year you built the other one that's more closer to the medical complex, that's or 2 years ago. You know, that's also a brand new lot in the last couple of years. So a lot of increase in parking capacity. This may seem like an obvious question, but it's one I don't know the answer to, so I wanted to ask. The new terminal proposal, is it going to be completely separate physically from the existing terminal, or will they connect? Because I have been in airports where it's, you know, two, like Atlanta, where it's, you know, two separate or five separate or whatever, and it's a, kind of a pain to get around, as opposed to airports where everything is walking to everything else. What's the eventual plan?
So if you can think of it this way. The current design as we see it is you go through a more expanded security checkpoint. So you mentioned four lanes earlier. We're going to be going from anywhere from 6 to 8 lanes, and then it's going to turn 90 degrees. And when you come out of security, there'll be either concessions there, restrooms, and then you're going to have a choice to turn one of two ways. You're either going to turn left to go to the current concourse, or turn right, and you'll walk on an elevated pathway, two stories over to what we used to call the HeliWorks hangars, which are, as I look out my window right now, are being demoed.
Okay.
The new concourse is going to be right there on the right side as you drive into the airport.
Okay, so
right
it's to the south the of the current terminal, and like you said, kind of like the front right when you're coming into the airport when you're driving in with your car. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Okay, and nice to see that we're going to have a consolidated security instead of having to really do two separate securities, which would be its own special nightmare, I'm sure. I did want to ask you, passenger pickup. What's the word I want? Not great. And I know you're kind of limited by the physicality of it all, but both from a driver picking up and from a passenger being picked up, the number of spaces, the way the traffic routes, the fact that only taxis can go on that left-hand side, like all of it creates a hot mess, in my humble opinion. As just a user, what are you doing to help that?
Sure. So one of the things I have to do is we have a lot of people that come in and are static. In other words, they sit there at the curb. They're waiting for customers or waiting for passengers. And just the sheer volume, we can't necessarily handle that. So you can't just keep sending them around in a circle. I have to give them a place to go. So as part of this construction project we're building currently with the new parking lot, one of the options in that project that we are moving forward with is building a new cell phone lot.
I was going to ask you that exactly, cell phone lot. Go on. I'm excited. Go on.
So as you come in, there's economy lot one right there on the right. We're carving out a piece of that for about 20 cars that can just, there's a cell phone lot right there, and they can pull in there. Because I have to give, you know, once they come in and people just sit here, I can kick them off the curb, but then they don't have anywhere to go. I got to give them a place to go. So this is going to be one of those pieces that helps with that. So what that's going to do is hopefully free up the curb a little more. Eventually, when we build a new concourse, we're going to be doing a lot of road work around here also, because we don't have a lot of real estate there, and with the sheer volume coming through here, we got to be super efficient about it, and that includes the road work too. So you're going to see a lot of road work when we build the concourse and just make it more efficient as people come in. But when I do get that cell phone lot up and running, the other thing it's going to afford us to do is to take those people who are just hanging out of the curb. You got to push. You got to move along somewhere, because it's a security issue.
Yeah.
And two, what airport in this country have you ever gone to where people can just hang out on the curb? You know. So we're trying to be fly easy. We're trying to be nice and all that, but we do have security concerns up there on the curb that we have to take care of.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. It also it seems to me like if you create the cell phone lot that you have a place to put them, that will allow you enough sort of flexibility and throughput that you can do the construction of the driving, as you say, the road surface areas that you're going to need to do. Because if you just try to do construction on top of what you currently have, it would be a extra catastrophe. So I can see why that would be a value as well. Hey,
I would add this real quick. People might not realize this, but they can park. Every lot's a cell phone lot. First hour is free is here. So first hour is free anywhere you park on the campus. So if you have a spot and you want to hang out and wait for a passenger to come in, it's free for the first hour. So
okay. I don't think I realized that, and I'm sure people kind of – there's always a feeling like, oh, God, if I go into the garage or if I go into the lot, I'm going to have to pay. So that's a good thing to remind people about. Also, small plug is I know in other cell phone lots in other airports around the country, they have a digital board, you know, of the flight status. I don't know if you guys are planning for that or not, but, you know, I've always found that useful. The cell phone's great, but, you know, those, you know, waiting for somebody to text you is one thing, but, you know, being able to see the status of the flights right there on the board is also kind of a nice thing. Last thing, and this is completely unrelated, but the other day I was just driving down airport and I happened to see a couple of gray F-18s circling overhead doing their, you know, carrier break coming in for a landing. You guys get gray planes all the time, right? You get Cobras and Hueys, and I assume you get Pave Hawks, and, you know, you certainly get F-18s, but you get lots of visiting naval aviation and other aviation too, right?
We do. We get a lot of military aircraft here. We do, I think, upwards about 20,000 operations a year for military out of a total of about 70,000 operations or so. We get quite a few in here. Mostly on the weekends, we do get a lot of Training Wing 5 from Whiting Aircraft that come down here. They basically come down for the weekend and go do their training and come back. And
okay.
That gives them an opportunity to knock out some of the training they need.
And that's, and are they overnight stays typically? They're not like touch and goes typically, right?
Yeah, we try to refrain from a lot of the touch and goes just because we want to be good neighbors. They mainly just will base here Friday and Saturday night and then go out and do training out of the area or wherever they go and then come back. But not too many overnight, maybe on the weekend a little bit more during the week.
And by the way, for my money, you can touch and go as much as you like. I love the sounds, but I know not everybody's in my... Oh, by the way, I got a text in here that says, thank you for the extra parking in the cell phone lot. They really appreciate that. Matt Coughlin, airport director. As always, Matt, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do, helping the airport run more efficiently. I appreciate the work, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. You have a great day.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
All right, we've got one accident to let you know about right now. It's at Ziegler Road and Kingsfield Road up in... Cantonment. The right lane is blocked, so if you're going eastbound on Kingsfield Road, that right lane is blocked. And also still dealing with the Burgess, Palafox and, hold on, I lost my...
Hancock Oakfield?
Yes, that one. The both lanes are seeing some heavy, heavy traffic, and they're basically stopped right now, so just plan your way around that one. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Wave Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wave Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know what to buy or sell?
You will need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rigi Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
What's that? What's that?
Oh, man, we're completely out of time for the hour. Oh, by the way, do your fact checks, people. The Kamala Harris donation didn't cost Netflix billions of dollars. That's false. Samsung didn't pull out of their $1 billion sponsorship of the Olympics because of the opening ceremonies. Please!
Stream
reach your internet!
NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.